Well, it is Mother's Day, like I said. I'll read you a few things here, a few quotes. This one says, "No one deserves a special day all to herself more than today's mom." A cartoon showed a psychologist talking to his patient. "Let's see," he said. "You spend 50% of your energy on your job, 50% on your husband, and 50% on your children. I think I see your problem." This quote says, "The hand that rocks the cradle usually is attached to someone who isn't getting enough sleep." We've all been there. If you're parents, you know that is a true statement. God bless the people who are in that stage. I'm glad I'm past that stage. But it is a stage of life. This one says, "I'd like to be the ideal mother, but I'm too busy raising my kids." Well, life is busy, right? You know, but by the grace of God, we can do what He said in His Word. This is a quote by Douglas L. Murray, Sr. It says, "There were four clergymen who were discussing the merits of various translations of the Bible. One liked the King James Version best because of its simple, beautiful English. Another liked the American Revised Version best because it was more literal and comes nearer to the original Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked Moffat's translation because of its up-to-date vocabulary. The fourth minister was silent. When asked to express his opinion, he replied, 'I like my mother's translation best.' The other three expressed surprise. They did not know that his mother had translated the Bible." "Yes, she did," he replied. "She translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw." Amen. Why don't you take a look at your sheet there, Proverbs 31:10. We're going to read it in the Message. This is really good in the Message. This is a pretty familiar passage of Scripture. You've heard of the Proverbs 31 woman. We could read it all in the New King James, but there's a lot here. I don't want to repeat it. So we'll just read it in the Message. The message is a paraphrase, okay? You can't build doctrine on the Message Bible. A paraphrase, by definition, takes what is literally in the Scripture, in the Hebrew and Greek, and translates it, not translates the wrong word, but puts it in language kind of in that person's understanding. But by definition, you have to, if you're not going to do it literally, you're bringing in some opinion. So the more literal something is, a translation is, the more it's going to be just what the Bible actually says, Hebrew and Greek. But sometimes, you can have translations that are very readable, but they're still translations. But then a paraphrase is not a translation. It's saying, here, I'll sum it up in my words. Well, by definition, you're going to get some doctrine, some understanding of somebody else. It's not necessarily everything the Bible actually says. So just keep that in mind when you're reading the Bible and paraphrase. They're good tools, but you don't build doctrine on that. You don't say, this is what the Bible says. You say, here's what a more literal translation would say, and this says it really nice and far, and I like the way it, but you always go back to the original ones. It's like the New King James is a pretty close literal translation. Reads pretty well, but it's still very, very accurate. The NIV is more of a set of a word-to-word translation. It's like a thought-to-thought translation. So it's a little bit further away, but it's still very readable, and most it's going to be good. New Living Translation is very readable. It's very up-to-date, and it's pretty close in most areas, but you got to be careful. It's not paraphrased, but it's got some paraphrase in there. The Message is pretty much over here where it's just a paraphrase. I mean, it doesn't even have verses a lot of times. It's got verse chunks, like here it says Proverbs 10 through 30 to 1. There's a big chunk where it's not breaking down. I just say all that to say this is a very readable a version of this, but you can't take something here and necessarily run with it. What we're doing this morning, there's a lot of good ideas here, a lot of things that are really go back. They just says it in a good way, but it's still very close to what the Scripture would say. Anyway, for what that's worth. Proverbs, so verse 10, "A good woman is hard to find." Amen. That's a true statement. That's backed up by a lot of scripture. A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Amen. You men are missing out on some good opportunities to amen here. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Never spiteful, she treats him generously all her life long. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons, enjoys knitting and sewing. Now, okay, this when this was much more, much more the way of life. This doesn't mean the proverb, somebody that's walking in these things has to do all this stuff. You don't enjoy knitting and sewing, well, thank God you can go to the store and buy clothes now. We don't have to make all our clothes. But you could, there's a lot of things here that are talking, you don't have to take this literally, but it's talking about doing things that are involved with supporting the family. She shops around for the best yarns and cottons, enjoys knitting and sewing. She's like a trading ship that sails away to faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. She's up before dawn preparing breakfast for her family and organizing her day. She looks over a field and buys it. Then with the money she's put aside, plants a garden. First thing in the morning, she dresses for work. She rolls up her sleeves, eager to get started. She senses the worth of her work, is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. She's skilled in the crafts of home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need, reaches out to help the poor. She doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are all mended and ready to wear. She makes her own clothing and dresses in colorful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. She designs gowns and sells them, brings the sweaters she knits to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant. She always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead, and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. Festoon her life with praises. Amen. That paints a picture for us. Now, women, I know that's a high bar. But, you know, the Word of God tells us the way we can live. We shouldn't take it as condemnation. We should take it as a standard, saying, you know what? I may not look like this in every area, but I'm coming up, and that's what I believe. I'm coming up in every area, and that's my goal. Now, we shouldn't say, I mean, I'm talking about in every area. When we see what the Word says, how many of you believe God would not tell us to do something that we cannot do? He's not going to, every area, He's not going to write something in the Word and say, you need to do this. Oh, but you can't. I'm sorry. That would be unjust. So when we read things in the Word of God, we never ought to be condemned. See, the enemy will come in and try to say, oh, well, that's not for you. Yeah, some people can get healed, but that's not for you. Some people could live like that or have a marriage like that or have children, but that's not for you. And what he'll do is say, oh, I don't like that. Makes me feel bad. That's just too high. But what does that do? That separates you from the will of God. If we listen to that, we need to go and say, God, I'm a work in progress. But I see your word, and if you told me to do it in your word, I know that's my target, and I'm going to come. Show me what I can do now. Show me where I can, because God will always bring us along. You're never going to jump, you know, from one place all the way to the highest standard. There is a path that we go on, and all of us are in different areas. And I'm talking about generally now. I'm not talking about just this verse or these verses, but I'm talking about the Word of God. If we'll take it and say, Lord, you're showing me a standard. You're showing me the way I could be, the way I should be, the way I am in your eyes. And Lord, you help me, and I'll do everything I know to do by your grace. I'll come up. If we'll have that attitude, see, that enables the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. We give Him the ability and the capability, the place to help us. But if we say, "Oh, that's too much, I can't do it," we automatically shut it down, and God Himself won't intervene and help, and He can't help a person come up. Did you know that? If we shut Him down and say, "I can't," He can't help us. You say, "Well, He's God." God gave us a free will, and He won't override it. Amen. So when we see the Word, we can say, we can let it push us away, or we can say, "Thank God. That's how you see me, so that's the way I'm going to see myself. Lord, help me today. Show me how I can come up." So in these verses, we understand this is what you could say is the ideal woman. And there's a lot here. But there's just so when we read it, you know, we're not to use this, men, we're not to use this to beat our wives up and say, "Well, you should be doing this. And women, you're not to read it and say, "Oh," like it's just like, "Oh, I'm failing here, can't do it." That's not the purpose. The purpose ought to be, "Lord, I see what you're saying here. I'm Lord, by your grace, I'll come up." And men, we ought to support our wives and thank God for what they're doing. And as mothers, as wives, as grandmothers, as, you know, sisters, whatever, we ought to be supportive and believe the best, because love always believes the best. Amen. But I just want to call out a few things, and we'll go on to some more scripture here, but we're talking specifically about mothers, but I wanted to focus in on just a certain aspects like that this brings out, and then some other scriptures about the woman, and specifically as a mother, but also just what the Bible talks about that role, because in our society, it is being pushed on and changed. And so there are some things that the Bible says are good that society is pushing against with women, and it is glorifying other things. And that when women are doing things that are in the Bible, it's almost like, well, that's not where women should go nowadays. And the Word of God is true, and it always has been true, and it is true in 2017. Amen. It doesn't get outmoded. See, people think things are old-fashioned, or people think, like in the Word of God, "Well, that's old. That was written a long time ago, and so society has changed." Yes, society's changed in a lot of ways, and there's a whole lot of ways it's not so good. And we look at certain things and wonder why society is having the problems it has, but it couldn't be because we've gone away from the Word of God, because the Word of God, that was just somebody's ideas. Now, what's the real problem? People will discount what's in the Bible, go over and say, "Yeah, that doesn't mean anything, but how do we solve these problems?" Well, the Word of God says that, "Yeah, but those are old ideas. How do we solve this problem?" "Yeah, but the Word of God says, well, but that's not, those are just men's ideas. How do we solve this?" You know, God knows. God knows how to solve every problem in society. And His Word, if how many of you would agree with the statement, if people were following the Word of God more in the world, we would have a lot less dissension. The financial problems just wouldn't be there like they are. You know, health problems. There's just a lot that people have gone away from what the Word says. And they've replaced it with philosophy, with ideas. But those ideas are still being tried and tested. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a guinea pig. You know, there are things that people have for ideas, and you don't see if they're right or wrong for decades. Well, you don't want to find out 30 years from now you were going down that somebody's philosophy was wrong, do you? 40 years, 50 years. Well, I read this guy's book. It looks good. that he's got some study to back it up, and he goes along and you find out, well, that was wrong. I don't want to find that out. The Bible says the Word of God is tried. It's true. It's already been tested. So if we base our life on that, it is just as true now as it ever has been. Period. It'll work in 2017. You say, well, our society's different. You don't think God knew that? You know, if Jesus doesn't come back, I'm just getting more and more convinced it can't be that too far off, though. The more I go, I mean, I know people said this, but the further we go, the more things I see happening in the world, I'm like, I don't see how this can sustain itself. It is going so, things are changing so rapidly and going in the wrong direction sometimes. Things are getting set up in such a way that I'm like, I don't see how Jesus could not come back for another 100 years. Or 50. Or even just a few years. I don't know. I mean, it just seems like it's just getting closer and closer. But even if he weren't to come back, you don't think he knows that society would be different, even different 100 years from now? Another 100 years? I mean, go back 100 years. 1917. The world is vastly different. You go back 200 years, completely different. But you just go back 20 years. 1997. Nobody had a computer to the degree that you and I have in their pocket. And that's what it is. If you have a tablet or a phone, I mean, it's a computer, but it surpasses what that you would have at home. I mean, and the rate of communication speed, ridiculous. I mean, 1997, it was still using dial-up modem. I could not, and I didn't have, I mean, cable, I don't think it was quite there at that point. I have to go back and check, but I know I didn't have it. I didn't have DSL or cable modem. So, you know, you all, some of you remember that. I mean, it's not that far back. It's 20 years. We're not talking about 70 years ago. Who can remember 70 years? No, we're talking about 20 years. Not that old. I mean, so I don't even have that many, you know, younger kids. You had to take your phone line and dial up to get on the internet, and if you didn't block the call, if somebody called in, your internet would drop. So you had to block the call, you had to make it so nobody could call in, and then anybody that called would get a busy, or if you had that you could force them to voicemail, they would get a busy signal because you couldn't do them both at the same time, and that just blows people, you know, young kids' minds like, what? You didn't have Wi-Fi everywhere? No, there was no Wi-Fi. I didn't have any Wi-Fi in my house. I just had a dial-up connection, and it would make you would hear the modem when you dial it. Then it would be online, and you're online. And now, you know, you couldn't watch videos online. Good night. You would, if there was a picture on the main page, it would like be going like line by line loading. If it was a big picture, here comes, and it's a picture. Well, could you listen to music? No. I mean, you could listen to dumbed down music, and they had this real player and stuff. It was like compressed music. You could do that at times. But your websites, they didn't have video. They didn't have a lot of super graphics like that. Why? Because you couldn't transmit that fast. I mean, 28, I can't even, I'd have to do the math of how slow it was compared to now. But it was so slow. The world has changed dramatically because now we walk around with something that we can see all this information, stream video. You can get unlimited video streaming from your carrier if you want to pay that much. Watch, you can have stuff all the time in that fast. The world has completely changed. It's going so fast. What took a little bit of time to just go this huge amount, we've just passed it in just a few years, and it's just going to keep going. But God, don't you know that God knew that? When we were still, and you know, it's not like I'm talking, like I said, it's not like I'm 100 years old talking about something that happened 90 years ago when I was growing up. You know, I'm only in my 40s, and I'm talking about something that's 20, and it still seems archaic, which shows how fast that's moved. But don't you know that God knew that? You know, he knows what's coming in 5 years. And 5 years is a long time now in technology and what the world is going to be like, the state of the world. But don't you know that he knew how his word would apply? And when he spoke it, it was right and true, and it applies now. Do we believe that? So here, he's laying out some things that we should not dismiss just because, well, we don't live in that society, you know. We're 2017. We're really advanced. Well, are we? If anything we're doing has gone away from the Word of God, we have not advanced. We've gone backwards. I don't care what people's opinion, what their columns say, what their books say, because that's all subject to change. The Word of God is not. The application may look a little different. You know, you and I, we came here in some sort of vehicle, most of us. I don't know if anybody walked. It's raining outside. Somebody may, if you live close. But we came in some sort of vehicle. Our mode of transportation has changed. Our clothes have changed. Like I said, you know, we carried in, a lot of people carried in some form of technology. But people are people. We're all just people, just like they were at this time. Well, we're much more advanced. Well, not as much as we may think. There's still male and female, regardless of what some people may try to tell us. There really is. There are families, you know, a family still. They're all families come in all different ways, but God's pattern is still a man and a woman with children together. That's his best. Now, everybody's made mistakes in different areas, but what we shouldn't do is say, well, that none of that applies because we live in a different society. If we do that, we start going away from the standard of the Word and start changing what right is. Just because we've made mistakes, we can't change the Word of God to try to adhere to our lives. We still need to look at the Word and what it says. Right? Amen? And we need to say, look, I missed it there, but this is still true. Now, because if I were you, like as a pastor, if I were to only preach to you things that like I had never made a mistake in, well, I wouldn't have much to preach. If I were to get up here and say, you know, if I were to only be able to preach something that I had done perfectly, well, I can't preach the Word of God then in a lot of ways. I mean, I may have missed it, but that doesn't mean the Word of God is not true. I still have to give you what the Word says, because you may be further than me in an area, and I'm giving you the standard and the Word, and God then, He's taking that and He's quickening it to your heart, and He's able to get across what He needs you to do. And that's what we have to do with the Word. When we read the Word, we shouldn't say, well, you know, we can't say certain things. This is the way our society is. A whole lot of stuff that you shouldn't say because it might hurt somebody's feelings or offend somebody. That's a problem. Because what we've done is stopped preaching the Word, and we've started just having dumbed down feel-good sessions. But that won't help people. I'm talking about generally. So whenever we see something in the Word, we need to just take it as the Word and say, God, how does this apply to my life, and how can I come up? And the point is, God's Word doesn't get outmoded regardless of the century. Amen. So when we're reading this, yeah, they're talking about, if you read this, I mean, in the like the New King James Version, talking about their maidservants and talking about the making the clothes and stuff. Okay, so some of that, like we said, may have changed, but there's principles here that are timeless. Like I said, people are people. We still have families. We still have dynamics, interpersonal dynamics, and God's way of doing things is the right way. Why are we saying all this? Because we're talking about mothers and women. We're reading this passage. We want to get the parts that the Lord would pull out today and not let some of these other things, these society's ideas, keep us from getting what we need and prompt us to dismiss certain things. So look at the first part. A good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. Her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Glory to God. I'm telling you, man, you could preach for weeks just on this. But just look at this. A good woman is hard to find. Well, what's a good woman? Let me just ask. Don't answer. But it just reads that at the first thing. Good woman. Well, you know, you ask people, and just if you did a survey. If you did a survey today, just went down to Boston there and just asked people off the street, what's a good woman? You'd get different answers. You'd get contradictory answers. But let's just look at what the, if you skip down to the end, what's he saying? Eventually, he's going to say all these things, and he's saying all these person does, but what is a good woman? Look at the last few verses, the part that's underlined. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead, and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised, he's telling us what a good woman is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves, festoon her with praises. He's telling you. See, because some people you say, well, what's a good woman? Some people would answer, oh, they're the ones that are on the magazines, and they look like this and that. That's not what the Bible says. Some people say, what's a good woman? Well, they have all these accomplishments. They do this and that. That's not what the Bible says. A lot of people have done great stuff, the Bible says. Quote, unquote. What does great mean, though? But what it says here is that the good woman, the one that should be praised, is one that fears God. Does that mean run away like scared? No, that means that reverences God. Well, somebody that reverences God is going to do His word. Amen. That's a godly woman. That's a good woman. A good woman is a godly woman. It has nothing to do with so much of what our society has told us about women, especially in this day and age. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of things that are part of true womanhood that would be a godly woman that has been attacked by our society. And even meant to try to make you feel like you are not a good woman or somehow not up to the times or whatever, when in fact you're godly. There's a lot that's doing that and actually undermining the foundations of our society. Somebody that's godly, sometimes people look at it and they're like, oh, well, you're old-fashioned or whatever, you're just not up to speed, when actually you're doing what the Bible would tell you to do, and in fact, then deserve the praise that the Bible says you deserve. Amen. It says, a good woman is hard to find and worth far more than diamonds. We believe that? I can say amen. You can give me all the diamonds you want. The Proverbs says in a different area, it is better to live on the corner of a housetop than to live with a contentious woman. I don't remember the exact words. I'm paraphrasing there. But you know, I don't care how much money you have. Yeah, live with somebody that is going to make your life miserable. That's not worth any diamonds. You can give me all the diamonds. You can give me all the cars. I'm going to live on the housetop. Huh? But this is wisdom from God. Says her husband trusts her without reserve and never has reason to regret it. Oh, to be able to trust, to be trustworthy as a woman, the man does just trust her. I can tell you, I trust Shelley completely. I don't, there's never anything that I'm thinking, oh, she's doing something. No, I just doesn't even, I trust her completely with everything. That is worth so much. I don't care what the person's accomplished. You can't trust them. Forget it. You don't know what's going to change the next day. I don't care how good looking they are. You can't trust them and you don't know where they're going to go, forget it. You're going to pay a much higher price. No, there are things that are worth far more than what society puts value on, because society, by and large, is not basing their value system on the Word of God. A woman that will fear God, that will reverence God, that is a godly woman worth far more. I want you to skip down to where it's not marked with verses, so that's what makes it hard, but it's underlined. It says, she senses the worth of her work and is in no hurry to call it quits for the day. So I like that, the part of it that says she senses the worth of her work. Because then it describes some of the work. And we're going to read a few other scriptures, I believe, and get into some things. But what is that? Is it just anything? I mean, it's important, the role that this lady has in the house. Notice when we read all this, this is not somebody, like some people have tried to make what Christians believe about women is they just want to keep them barefoot and pregnant and off in the corner and doing nothing. Does this describe somebody like that?
No.
This is a mover and a shaker. This is somebody that's doing a lot of stuff. See, Christianity, the societies where Christianity is, women get treated the best in those societies.
Yes.
This whole thing about somehow that, you know, you just want to put them off the court, that's not true, and that's not Bible. Now, I'm not saying certain people don't do that, but it's not Bible. No, there's a lot of societies that are not Christian that treat their women horribly. Do treat them like dogs. Treat them like a piece of property. When you see this at the end of this chapter, it's saying her husband praises her. Her children praise her, saying, you're awesome, 2017 language. Does that sound like somebody that's being treated like a nobody? No, it's quite the opposite. It's held up as somebody that, you're a gem, you're a diamond, you're very worthy. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. But notice, she senses her worth in her work. What she's doing is important. That includes she's doing things for her family. See that right there, that statement? You got to watch. In society, it's tried to make... Now, I don't want to go too far down. I'm going to read some other verses. We're talking about motherhood and talking about the just womanhood overall here, but in relation to that. But there's this idea in society that somehow... these type of statements like providing for a family, taking care of anything in the home, it's almost like, oh, don't say that. That's not politically correct. Don't you know they're both the same and can do, roles are interchangeable and such and such? See, just even me saying it, people say, in the society, it's like, well, that's old school. Now, I'm not saying we can have different setups in the home. But there are things the Bible says, and they're not bad. Notice this lady is knowing the importance of her work. In other words, she has her head held high and saying, this is important too. Every couple has got to make their decisions on how the home is run, and that's basically up to the couple. But it is not a lower status for the woman to say, I'm taking care, I'm making a home for my family, and I'm raising my children. That is not unimportant. Is my point. Couples have to make their decision how certain things work, and I'm gonna read some scripture. But my emphasis here is the society has tried to push to instead of exalting what God has said about motherhood, about womanhood, it's tried to sell its own package and saying, this is what a woman should be. And if you look at the definition, it is cutting out some godly characteristics and trying to discount certain things and saying, if you're not doing such and such, you're not really a 20th or 21st century woman. And it's not true. It's discounting some of the things that God holds precious. And because of that, people that would necessarily have, they would have done other things, they feel compelled to follow what society is putting pressure on. Now, we always should have the choice. But we in our relationships, in our household, it's up to the man, the woman to determine division of responsibility, and that differs from household to household. But what we ought to not do is feel pressure on society to fit some mold instead of making our decision based on between us and God and based on the Scripture of what's important and what's not. But it says here, she senses the worth of her work. She's in no hurry to call it quits for the day. You know, we read these different scriptures up, a little bit before that. It says she shops around for the best yarns and cottons, enjoys knitting and sewing. This just gives the picture of somebody that is out knowing what to do, knowing how to approach it. She's like a trading ship that sails faraway places and brings back exotic surprises. That means she is in the know about how to interact with the society around her. She's up before dawn preparing breakfast for her family. It doesn't mean you literally have to do that. It means that she has things organized. She's helping to facilitate things. Looks over a field and buys it. Well, that's business. That's out buying and selling. The Bible does not forbid these things, okay? Some people have just a backwards. They think certain things are backwards, but they're actually getting their ideas of Christianity from something other than the Bible. Now, let's just say this. God has a call for different people, different families, to do different things. They're going to look different. We shouldn't try to put everybody in the same mold. The thing that we don't compromise on are the scriptures that do give us guidelines. But we shouldn't say everybody's got to look like this, everybody's got to look like that. It's up there's as long as we're in the guidelines of the scripture, we should follow. As long as we're in those guidelines, then we follow the Holy Spirit of what He has for us. There are going to be women that never hold a job outside the home, and the Scripture supports that. You see, this woman is doing all kinds of stuff, doing things outside the home. Obviously, the Scripture supports that. It doesn't mean you have to do one or the other. It means we ought to decide between us and God how we should do it. The point, though, and I'll get to this a little, we ought to make the decision. We ought to have the option to do what our heart desires and not let other things get in the way. And because of what society expects or the desire for certain things, get our priorities out of whack. That's what we should never do. In other words, I really want such and such. I want it to be this way. And my heart is really to do something. Like, my heart is really to do this with my children. But I really want to go over here and do this. So therefore, everybody else is doing this. I'm going to do this. If our heart is in a certain direction, we ought to follow our heart. And we ought to have the prerogative and the freedom to do that. But my point here is she's saying she senses the worth of her work. We ought to, and ladies, you ought to have a sense of pride in what you're doing, especially as mothers and as the person that a lot of times is coordinating, not in every case, but a lot of times the person that's coordinating the home and helping, there ought to be a sense of pride. And in our society, sometimes it's like, oh, well, you stay at home, or oh, you take care of that, or oh, and it's not the way the Bible teaches. Let's just read in between scriptures and I think we'll move on. It says, she's skilled in crafts of the home and hearth, diligent in homemaking. She's quick to assist anyone in need. She reaches out to help the poor. Doesn't worry about her family when it snows. Their winter clothes are mended and ready to wear. That just means she's got things under control. She's seen ahead, made plans. Makes her own clothing. Well, you know, like we said, we can buy her clothing. And dresses in colorful linens and silks. Her husband is greatly respected when he deliberates with the city fathers. Notice that. She did it say her husband safely trusts her. And she's going around doing all these things, but notice she's supporting her husband. Her husband is out doing things, but she's doing all kinds of things as well. But notice it's a relationship that is producing good results all around. She designs gowns and sells them, brings her sweaters to the dress shops. Her clothes are well made and elegant. She always faces tomorrow with a smile. When she speaks, she has something worthwhile to say, and she always says it kindly. That's something, you know, we're all working on. You know, you've read that definition of love. Maybe Sometimes we trip up, but you know what? We shouldn't say, well, the word doesn't say that anymore. We ought to say, yep, that's the standard I am shooting for. When she speaks, she always has something worthwhile to say. Yeah, well, some of us, we're still working on that. Some of us, sometimes we just need, there's always the time when we wish we would have kept our mouth shut. We thought it was worthwhile to say, but we should have just shut up. But it's all right, we just keep on plugging. She keeps an eye on everyone in her household and keeps them all busy and productive. Productive's not a bad word. Amen. Productive's not a bad word. We just notice everybody in her household. See, kids today, sometimes it's like, well, we got to entertain them. Who says who? You're a mean mom, mean dad. You don't let me do exactly what I want when I want to do it. Well, welcome to life. I don't get to do everything I want to do when I do it. Want to do it? Well, we got to entertain them. We got to give them everything they want or they're not going to be happy. Well, in life, you're not going to be happy just because you're entertaining. Entertain? That's teaching them the wrong thing. We got to, you know, again, the society is telling us we should give our kids everything they want when they want it. And if you're one of the moms or the parents that's going, no, you shouldn't do that, and it's in the mall and it's in the food court, oh my gosh, why are you telling them? They should be disciplined. Well, a lot of times then the people around you actually would thank you because the parents think they're doing the kid a service by not disciplining them. Everybody around them is wishing they would discipline them. But at the same time, the society is saying, but you don't want to discipline them. So we have a problem. We're getting the results of not doing the word. We don't, you know, as a parent, we don't discipline, or the society is not disciplining children, expecting certain things of them, because society is saying, well, you have to give them this and give them that and help them. And yet, we're seeing the results of that behavior. But then it couldn't be that we would go back to what the word says and emphasize what the word says. Because we don't want to hurt their fragile self-esteem, the kids, I'm saying. So again, it can be made that if we'll do what is pushed on by the Bible as a mom, feeling like it's mean somehow to stand up for a standard. Because after all, the child is so fragile. We don't want to hurt their esteem by telling them what they're doing is wrong. Well, it's funny how life has a way of telling you you're wrong. If you're wrong, not everybody around us is going to cater to what we're doing. Is that not right? As an adult. Well, it's not mean to tell a child that. It's love to tell a child that. Hey, you need to change that. That's the wrong thing to do. Well, I like doing it. It's the wrong thing to do. I like doing it. Well, what are we going to do? Discipline. Oh, we don't like that. Society doesn't like that. But we're seeing the results. But my point in pulling out some of these things is, look at the last part. It says, her children respect her and bless her. Why? She's a godly woman. She's doing the word. Does this woman seem like somebody that is like swayed by everybody else's opinion on how she should do stuff? It doesn't seem like that. It's a picture of somebody that knows what they're supposed to do, is doing it, is organized in doing it, and if you don't think it's right, that's your problem. Because she fears God. Amen. And she knows the value of her work. She knows what she's doing is valuable. Now, this doesn't stop when the children are out of the house. This is a role. As a mother, as a grandmother, we are, and parents, as these people in society, we are holding up something. We're giving an example for something. And if we're, the society a lot of times is telling us what we're holding up is wrong, is old-fashioned, Why would you expect that? Don't you know they're a child? Or don't you know they're just doing the best they can? Well, that might be true under the circumstances, but how are they going to know any different if they don't know what the Word says or they don't have an example of somebody that's actually putting God first? Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. Since when did feelings get to be the primary thing? Since when? You know, we know that feelings go all over the place. If we're going to be led by feelings, we're going to be a mess. So why would we tell our children or give an example to our children that feelings are the number one things? We don't feel bad? Well, that means you shouldn't do it. Really? Can I see your hands? How many of you have ever felt like not going to work? Huh? Let me ask you another question. Don't raise your hand on this one. How many of you ever felt like not going to church, like on a rainy day, like when it's blowing, huh? I'm not going to lie to you. Well, should we just go by it? Well, I felt like it. We feel like it, so I'm not going to work today. No. Call in. Email the boss. I'm not coming in. Why? I just don't feel like it. How would that go over? Huh? Is that in your human resources policy? You know, you get so many days off just because you don't feel like it. So why is that a good thing to say to teach your kids? Well, you don't feel like it, therefore you shouldn't do it. But I don't want to wear that. You're two. I don't care what you want to wear. This is what you're wearing. But I don't like it. Well, but you don't understand. You have to give the child a choice, and they have to understand this early on, or else it's going to damage their development. Really. I'll tell you what's going to damage their development. If they think everything centers around them, when they get out into the world, it scares me. Not literally, but when I look at it, it concerns me, I should say. When I look at the certain people that have grown up now, and not everybody's like this, because there's, thank God, we have good parents, certain areas. But you see the way certain areas and generations are going, and then you realize they're raising kids, and what? Either there's going to be a complete flip, and they're going to go back, or it's just going to keep going. Because if you got everything you want, you think that's the way, then you're going to deal with your child that way. They're not going to want to do anything. But my point is that we're being told, and moms, grandmoms, being told that these certain things that are godly, they're not actually the way you should do stuff because that's old-fashioned. And my question is, said who? Because look at the result of what the in-fashion thing is doing. What are we getting with the fashionable way of doing things? It's a train wreck. It doesn't say in this proverb, well, you know, if you do something the way everybody in society thinks you should, then you're going to be praised. It doesn't say that. Is it the godly person, the one that fears the Lord? Read it again. Her husband or her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Why? Charm can mislead. How many of us know that? Beauty soon fades. Like it or not, our body is affected by gravity and age. All of us. Huh? They make new bodies coming off the assembly line every day in the world. But all of us are getting older, and if we think that's it, a peg, that's the way it should be, that person is going to fade too. Doesn't matter. We're all getting older. Our bodies are mortal. It says, the woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Lives a godly life. Worships God. Is a godly example to her children. Godly companion to her husband. Give her everything she deserves. Shower her with praises. Hallelujah. Well, there's other things I wanted to get to. Let's just read a few of these just on your sheet for the sake of time because I just wanted to touch base on some of this. I wanted you to see what the Bible is focusing on, things that are to be upheld. As far as children, as far as women are concerned, and things they do. Look at 1 Peter 3, verse 1 real quick. We'll read these, and we'll just read over these in closing. You can go study some more, but I don't want to take a lot more time here. It says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands." We're not going to get off on that, but that's not dirty. Submission is not a dirty word. If it's used in a godly way, we're to submit to God, and He has a structure of authority. But that, oh my gosh, that word in society, ooh, that's just so archaic. No, it's not. It's godly. And if we understand it, we're not talking about dictatorship. Being submissive is a totally different thing, and that's for a different sermon. But it's still godly, and it's in the Bible, and it works if we understand it. Anybody that is expecting somebody else to submit, they know how to submit themselves. A good leader is the best follower. Period. We're not going to talk about that. But that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear. That's again, fear of God, reverence of God, not run away, I'm scared fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, putting on the fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Look at the things God is saying are important. They're not what society emphasizes. They're not. 1 Peter 3:3 says, "Don't be concerned," this is in the New Living Translation, same verses, "don't be concerned about the outward beauty of fancy hairstyles, expensive jewelry, or beautiful clothes." Now, it's not saying you can't have these things. Okay? Some people have gone to the opposite extreme, say, "Oh, we're supposed to wear nothing, no makeup, no clothes, whatever, and look like you came out of the 18th century." That's not what it's saying. It's saying don't emphasize that. You can look stylish, you can have a good hairstyle, you can look, wear makeup. Doesn't hurt to wear makeup. Huh? It's just that you don't put that at the expense of the other. But it's not forbidding that. Some people, that's not what the word is saying. You can have all these things. You can have a nice hairstyle. You can have jewelry. You can have beautiful clothes. But the real thing that should shine is what's on the inside. Verse 4, "You should clothe yourselves instead with the beauty that comes from within, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is so precious to God." Look at that, verse 4 in the Living Bible. "Be beautiful inside in your hearts with the lasting charm of a gentle and quiet spirit that is so precious to God." Doesn't that line up with Proverbs that we read? In the end, you'll be praised, not because you had fancy clothes in 2017. Huh? Does anybody care about having the clothes that they were wearing in 1980? If you looked like you were coming from 1980, you would look terribly out of date. 1985, you know, big hair and all this stuff, and everything was too big. When I was in high school and college, I wore extra larges for all these shirts because we wanted everything real big and baggy. And I'm like a medium normally. Well, you can totally tell the clothes that were then, and no, now, and then we went through, you know, it's a little bit different now, but we went through that time where everything was just super tight, and it's still pretty tight. Nobody wants to look like they were 40 years ago. They're not going to exalt you for that, but they are going to exalt you as your charm. From the gentle charm from a quiet and gentle spirit comes through. Go quick, let's go through a few of these, and then we'll in closing. 1 Timothy 5:9, "Do not let a widow under 60 years old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been." Now notice this. This is talking about widows, but notice what's being emphasized here. "Not unless she has worn all the most expensive clothes and jewelry all through her life." No. "Not unless she has written 20 books." Didn't say it's bad, but that's not what it's talking about. "Do not let a widow under 60-year-old be taken into the number, and not unless she has been the wife of one man." Now emphasizing fidelity within a given relationship. Verse 10, "well reported for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lodged strangers, if she has washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. Notice the things that are emphasized. Those are different than what society emphasizes, is my point. And notice why it says that. Verse 11, then, the next scripture, 1 Timothy 5:11, but refuse the younger widows, for when they have begun to grow wanton against Christ, they desire to marry, they having condemnation because they have cast off their first faith, and besides they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies. Huh? We say we don't do that. We don't go house to house. Yeah, it's not house to house anymore. It's site to site or app to app. Huh? We don't gossip. Really? You been on Facebook? You been on Twitter? No gossip there? Instagram? No gossip? Really? It's all the same stuff. We may not be going to house anymore, but it's all the same time. A lot of idle. Well, that's not idle. Well, there's good uses and there's bad uses of technology. There's a balance. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. You know, people think that when you post it on the internet, that, you know, somehow it's out there and it's not really, I mean, people don't really think that, but they kind of think that by what they write, that it's not really read by real people. Just like, you know, when you're on the interstate, those people next to you aren't really real people, so it doesn't matter if, you know, you act whatever way to them. I'm not saying that to condemn me, but I'm just saying this is the mentality. Therefore, I desire the younger widows to marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, I'm not going to dive into this, but look at what he said he desires the women to do. Now, it's obvious this isn't the only thing. We read Proverbs 29 or Proverbs 31. There's a lot there in this woman. But look at the things he spells out here. That they marry and bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. My point here on this and bringing this out, and I wanted to read this in relation to other, is that those aren't bad things. If you read this sentence to a lot of people in society, they'd be like, oh, well, what are you saying? Women should only do that? No, but these things are not bad things. They're not dirty words. It is a high calling to raise children and manage the house and be a God-fearing woman. That's a high calling. That is not second class to going and doing something out in quote-unquote society. The Bible does not prohibit that. We read Proverbs. You look at that woman in Proverbs 31, she, like I said, she's a mover and a shaker. That is an influential person. Bible does not prohibit that. It also, though, is not, it is exalting the office of raising children and taking care of the home. Those are very noble things and should never be looked upon, you know, in any negative light. But in this society, it's almost like, well, you shouldn't say that. You're just, it's outdated. No, it's not. Amen. We're talking about Mother's Day. We're exalting this calling, but it's almost like, but you can't put it in the forefront. You know, it's kind of like a second thing. You got to take care of the main stuff out in society, and then second. No, it's opposite. We make sure this is taken care of, and then, yeah, if you make the decision you want to do something out in the world, have a job. Well, that's up to you and your spouse. Let's read one more. Titus 2, verse 1. It says, but as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older man be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and in patience. The older woman likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, leaders or teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, love their children, be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands. You'll see that in another one. Submissive. That the word of God may not be blasphemed. Look at it in the New Living Translation. Similarly, teach the older women to live in a way that honors God. They must not slander others or be heavy drinkers. Instead, they should teach others what is good. These older women must train the younger women to what? What is she emphasizing? What is he emphasizing here that the women should emphasize? That they should love their husbands and their children, that to live wisely and be pure, to work in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. Again, another subject, but that's not a bad thing when it's understood. Then they will not bring shame on the Word of God. Means this is emphasized. This is something like when we read the Proverbs 31, she knows the value of her work. She knows that what she's doing is godly, she's doing it in the glory of God, and she's being a good witness. Head held high, saying, yeah, this is what I'm doing it unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.